We're going to say something that might sound wrong for a New Year's episode. You probably actually don't need a New Year's resolution or a personal reinvention right now. Every January, we're told that this is the moment to become someone entirely new. New habits, new systems, new strategies. But what if that pressure to reinvent is actually the thing that's holding us back? Today, we're taking a different look at the new year and making the case for something far less dramatic, but far more effective.
So if you're already feeling that New Year pressure, this conversation is definitely going to be for you. All right, everyone, before we dig in today, don't forget to like and share this episode and subscribe to the Innovation Room wherever you get your podcast. January feels clean on the calendar, but most people are still carrying that weight of Q4. You're tired from the holiday chaos, trying to close loops, put the finishing touches on your budget, and then suddenly you're supposed to make the smartest decisions of the year.
Right. And I think this is where sometimes a lot of unnecessary change happens, right? We end up making shifts, not because something is necessarily broken, but kind of because it feels like we should. And it's a sort of a we're here, why not kind of situation, I guess. Yeah, I think I was telling Rhiannon before we started recording today that I have a serious vendetta against New Year's resolutions, and I think it fits in perfectly here. So let me tell you all why I think they're dumb. They're dumb because they don't work, right? Mm-hmm. And I think, like, I still have that instinct of, like, man, after Christmas, like after the new year, I love to do Pilates, but I'm not always very consistent with it, right? I'm going to really like hit Pilates hard and I'm going to do it and I'm going to focus and I'm going to da 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 da. But like, I'm not. I'm actually not. I think if you're someone who can capitalize maybe on the energy that comes with the beginning of the new year, then maybe New Year's resolutions are for you. But I think if you were to survey, right? Probably 8 or 9 out of 10 people are going to say, yeah, I had a New Year's resolution and it kerplunked by February, you know? So like, why are the hype isn't the thing that's going to sustain, right? Good goal setting or better habits, right?
I would really like to see the results on a survey like that, Tori,
honestly.
To just see like what the actual statistics are with New Year's resolutions and how many people followed through with them probably after March. So it's like sometimes you're like so geared up for the beginning of the year
right.
and you get into it and everything, but then life and busyness and the normal things that caused you potentially to not do those habits the past year. So I would definitely be interested in seeing that, but I think it is definitely almost like the peer pressure kind of thing. You know, everybody asks you, what's your New Year's resolution? What are you going to do this new year? Like, what are you looking forward to? Things along those lines. And I think in part, it is good to plan. And more so, I think it's good to reflect on, you know, the closing of the year, maybe the closing of a chapter for certain people. What went well this last year? For some of us, it's like I had a doctor tell me yesterday, I feel like 2025 was the twilight zone. I'm like, I get that. I feel that. You know, for some year people, it's just like, I just want to survive to get to 2026. And for others, like, hey, there was some really great things. And I think no matter good or bad, overall, there are good things. And I think that truly should be reflected on. Also, what didn't go well?
Mm-hmm.
What would you like to see different? I get all that. I think the reflection on it is more important necessarily than the immediate goal sessions, I guess. So what do you think about that? I don't know.
No, I love that. I love that. Like taking time to really digest and think through critically kind of, right? You can do this personally, of course, but from the business perspective, really taking time to zoom out and consider what happened. I think that you're kind of getting at something that I think is really important, which is that we sometimes confuse this like fresh energy that comes with the beginning of a new year with clear thinking, right? And so if you don't take that time to really think through strategically what happened in your organization over the last year, the last 5 years, whatever, right? As you're setting yourself up for 2026, then you're not actually going to be set up to make those smart decisions. And this is a time, right, when you're kind of supposed to be making really smart decisions because you need to set yourself up for success for the rest of the year, especially, again, with budget season, right? Hopefully a lot of people's budgets are, I mean, it's mid-December now. Hopefully your budgets are pretty much nailed down, but right, you're making these huge decisions about how you're going to spend money over the next year, but you're also trying to do all these other things to close down the end of the year, right? And I know for us, because people are working through their budgets for next year, that creates a lot of work for us as we're helping our clients and potential customers think through how much do I need to spend on my signage next year, right? So there's just a lot going on, but you got to give yourself that time to zoom out and really think through things.
And for us, like, this is the busiest time of the year for the repair side, and there is no slowing down to reflect in regards to what we need to do. That actually takes place later on, I would say, after Q1, because we are just in an all-out, all-hands-on-deck type of situation right now where we are planning for some of our clients, especially, like, the maintenance clients. We're planning on sign cleaning, sign maintenance, maintaining, like, what that's going to look like for the new year. But we have so many repairs and removals and things along those lines that our team planning usually takes place a little bit later because we have to be able to calm down a little bit. So I did just do a quick Google, and it said around 40 to 50% of Americans make New Year's resolutions, but only 9 to 10% succeed long term with those. So yeah, most obviously focus on health, diet, exercise, finances, you know, those big pocket things, but definitely something to think about. And they always say it takes at least 30 days to create a habit. And it's hard to change.
Yeah. Yeah. I think if you're one of those people that, yeah, New Year's resolutions really work for you, I mean, that's fabulous and you should do what works for you. But if you're one of the remaining 90% where New Year's resolutions don't work for you, you know, it's just, I love that you
What's
guys
What's the definition of insanity? Yeah. It was Einstein that said that, like, doing right. the same thing over and over again and getting the same results.
Right. And but expecting something to change, like, that's ridiculous. Why would you do that?
So why do we do this? And, you know, why is this such a big deal? And what could we do to make things more successful for ourselves?
Well, and this is where I love what you guys do for your team, where you're like, we're not a part of the January hype, right? And again, this is true for both personally. A lot of people set New Year's resolutions personally, but businesses are also setting goals for the next year. We just don't call it a New Year's resolution. But the fact that you guys are not part of the January hype, right? And you're like, okay, we need to get through our busy season. And then when things have calmed down, right, you as a team are working through what do next steps, what does this next year look like for us? But you're kind of separated from the craziness in the workplace culture that tries to get people mm-hmm. to constantly think about what are my goals for the next year. So I love that. I mean, setting yourself up for a different cadence. I think, you know, organizations that run on a July to June fiscal year are sometimes immune from some of this hype as well. I know a lot of organizations oriented around schools run on that alternate fiscal calendar, right? And so I think sometimes that's helpful when you separate yourself from, you know, all the noise and you can just really focus on what your team needs.
I don't think, like we just in the very beginning said, you should do something just for the mere act of doing it or
for the sake of it
to do so.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So there is this assumption that growth has to look dramatic, right? It has to be big, or you have to make some profound commitment to this, like, huge life-altering goal. I'm going to lose 50 pounds this year, or my, you know, we're going to double how much we make this year or something like that.
Right. But
Tori, often real progress is steady and, I guess, unglamorous.
Yeah.
And it's a sign that something is actually working. For leaders that might look like, this might look like sticking to or with something long enough to let the progress compound into something a little bit more sizable. And, you know, you can put that into a real world where the people that are, for example, losing weight, we all want to say, I want to drop 20 pounds in a month, or I want to do, you know, whatever it may be. But those people that are losing weight healthy and in a good way, and some in a way that's usually going to stay off, is that 1 to 2 pounds per week max. And that varies, obviously, person to person, but that's not glamorous. That's not something potentially that everybody can see right away. And the same goes for businesses, where you don't necessarily need to make this ginormous change in how things have been going to see big results long term.
No, that's totally true. And maybe there are things that do need to change in order to kind of reach that sort of steady growth and steady progress. But there's a difference between totally overhauling a system in order to reach a goal, right? Okay, like we can continue to use our exercise example here. I have never loved lifting weights. I don't really know what I'm doing. I'm not experienced, right? And so for me to go and say, like, I'm going to start lifting weights and all of a sudden be this new super fit human being is actually maybe not super effective. And maybe it's okay for me to lean into the things that lean into a system that does already work for me. Again, for me, it's Pilates. I love that kind of exercise. And so how do I maybe start to, if weightlifting is something that I'm wanting to do, how do I start to slowly transition myself from a Pilates only to some weightlifting, right? And then to mostly weightlifting or whatever it is, right? But for me to just throw myself into this new thing that I don't know anything about is maybe not the most effective thing. So how do we, instead of overhaul or replace an entire system, how do we refine it to make it more effective for whatever our goals are?
Well, and just like individually, companies often fail with their New Year's resolutions because of those like large, ambitious goals. Like, we want to revamp this. We want to grow times however much percent. Our sales numbers are going to do this. So they often fail because the goals, there's lack of planning. It's more of just like, oh, we want to do this, but there's the how behind that. Or it also depends on making them very specific, realistic, attainable, rather than just vague promises. And I think that's where it really comes into play, is we need to turn them into very sustainable habits through gradual change versus big, large change right up front, or as you know, the grandiose gestures, I guess that we should say, of the change. And I think that sometimes managers, they get into that pit of like, oh, I'm going to use the motivation of the new year to motivate my employees and to throw these big stats out and to do these things. And is it really working? When you boil it down, again, you look at you lose the lack of trust. You lose a trust emphasis, you know, on your employees when you throw these big things out there. Yeah, I understand that sometimes it can be exciting and new and fresh and you want to get people motivated, but is this realistically the way to do it? Because when you 3 months into the year, 6 months into the year, are we anywhere close, or was the words from the manager just that? Or was it just words? And then you lose your impact. So
totally. And I think when you build trust with your team by not throwing change at them in really dramatic ways, right, you're building that slow and steady trust. Then when it does come time where they need to flex, they trust mm-hmm. that you're there as the leader, right, and you've got their back and you're going to support them through whatever the transition is. And people just don't like change. We don't like it. You know, like,
yeah.
Partially because it's uncomfortable. We have to maybe learn something new. Transition of literally any kind is really difficult. I think we may have talked about this on our last podcast. I can't entirely remember, but I may have shared about a friend of mine who's
her daughters just went through potty training, and she is doing an amazing job with teaching her daughter how to be potty trained, and her daughter is doing really well with it. But because there's so much transition in this one aspect of her daughter's life, right? Her daughter's also seeing some small regressions in some areas, right? Because there's really big change happening over here, and then some change that's actually not as positive happening on the other side of her little body. So, you know, transition is hard. It doesn't matter how old you are. And
absolutely. Adults, and I think that's actually a really good point, Tori, because my sister, she has almost 2-year-old, well, 2-year-old, and they were potty training her, doing really good. And then all of a sudden, my sister had another baby. 2-year-old regresses, doesn't want anything to do with potty training because of that huge, massive change. And I think that that brings up a really good point where often as managers, we forget to explain. And we do this with clients where everything we can do for you, here's here we can lay it out, and we can say, here's how we're going to do it, here's what's going to happen, and we can get all these goals cleared and everything, but we don't discuss necessarily what happens if something doesn't go as planned. And I think that we are missing out on a big opportunity, because that in and of itself develops trust and develops just that reliability on that manager saying, because we all know things aren't always going to go as planned and things happen. And so we need to basically, you need to plan for that setback. If this happens, that's okay. And here's what we're going to do to pivot. And we do that for our clients. So we know that in the world of maintenance, facility maintenance, we wish everything would go as planned from day in and day out, but we want to let our clients know, hey, if this happens, here's what we're going to do to make things better. Here's our plan to recoup, or, you know, whatever that may be. And I think we need to do that with our employees too, when we set up goals. And I think it lets them view some type of setback or failure as more of a learning opportunity and almost as a growth opportunity as well. And it's just not the reason to just quit. Let's just quit that goal. Let's just quit that New Year's resolution because it didn't necessarily go as planned. As we well know, things change throughout the year, things happen, and sometimes we do need to pivot. And I think that our team needs to be set up with that as well. And I think that's super important.
So sounds like we're not actually throwing everything out, right? And starting over from the ground up. But if we're not doing that, then the real question is actually what deserves to change. And we're not, you know, don't hear us saying that nothing should ever change, because obviously that's not true either. Mm-hmm. Sometimes big change is exactly what's needed in order for an organization or a team to thrive. But in this episode, we're really talking about smart change. So instead of asking, what should I reinvent, right? Maybe a better question is, where is the friction happening?
Right. The answers are often smaller than expected. One process or one communication gap, one expectation that isn't clear. It's making targeted adjustments, which tends to create more momentum than just the full reset ever really could.
Right. And how do you go about making some of those targeted adjustments? And it, I think, kind of comes back to something we've talked about in episodes quite some time ago. We talked about active listening. What is active listening? Active listening is when you take the time to, of course, not just hear, but understand what the other person is saying. And you go about that by asking good questions of the other person, asking questions to help clarify. And that same principle applies here. If we're trying to understand where our friction points are, the way to understand where those places are is to ask better questions, right? Rather than shouting over here, like, here's our huge goal, let's go for it. Let's ask better questions.
One of the main reasons that New Year's resolutions fail is because of vagueness. And goals like, I'm going to get healthy in the new year, they're just too broad. Without a clean, clear plan, it's just too broad. What does healthy mean? And digging into those specific questions And you can do that specifically within your teams as well, within your companies. And really, because I think when you go too broad, there's almost a sense of overwhelm a little bit. And you can't see those tiny baby steps to get to the end goal. You know, you're trying to change too much all at once. And it can be a sense of overwhelm. And I know from personal experience, when people get overwhelmed, they often shut down. And that's when those goals are shut down and they're just like, forget it, we're not going to do it anymore. Or, you know, it just gets missed. So I think that's definitely important.
It is. And there's a nonprofit organization that I serve on the leadership team for. And we have been going through this over the last couple of years where a key member of our leadership left, and that was quite a big change. And so then we kind of have to, how are we kind of filling in the gaps here? But then we were like, okay, well, we can't lose our forward momentum. So we need to create a plan. And so we did. We created this plan. It had different goals and strategies of how to achieve the goals. And then as we're going through this, right, we did this for probably a year and a half. And then we realized some of these things are actually not happening. And there are things that are falling through the cracks. And how do we, this organization, we wanted to do more outreach. Okay, well, we don't even know why we're failing at some of these things, right? Is it because we don't have the time? Is it because we don't have the training? Is it because we don't have the desire or the will to do the thing, right? There are all these questions that we didn't have answers to. And so where we arrived, which was earlier this year in the spring, we decided, okay, maybe we actually need to do some diagnostic work here. We need to take a step back. We're going to survey the people who participate in our organization, and we're going to figure out what the root cause is of some of these issues. And then we're going to treat that problem. And so that's the process that we're in. We've actually taken the steps now to diagnose. We're using a third party program to help us with this, but we've diagnosed the problem. Now we're working to actually address that problem. And so I'm seeing it firsthand. And now this is nonprofit, but it happens in organizations all the time where you try to cover other problems by saying, well, we're going to shoot for this goal, right? Because we need something to work toward, right? We need forward trajectory. But then you realize that you can't actually achieve that because you're missing. There's some other issue that's holding you back.
You haven't gotten to the root cause.
Exactly.
It's kind of just like with health. You may have certain symptoms, and you could mask or fix those symptoms, but until you get down to the root cause of what's causing those symptoms, is it really going to be fixed? Is it really going to go away? And I think that's so important. And I think that when we talk about momentum and employee engagement, and specifically for making these resolutions in the new year, I think one of the biggest things that companies can do is involve the team. Involve the team, because when they feel involved and then their opinion matters, they're going to have so much more, there's going to be a lot more willingness. There's going to be a lot more just responsibility for those goals in general that they want to feel responsible for. And, you know, it creates that buy-in, you know, and identify the needs from them for better work-life balances or what's going on in the system. Is it an actual problem technically within the company or something we need to change? Or is it culture? You know, maybe we're missing these things as higher up managers because we're not in the trenches with the employees, things along those lines. So if you say, like, again, well, in the new year, we're going to fix our culture.
Okay.
What does that mean?
Yeah.
And
right.
And why is it broken in the first place? Like,
exactly.
Those are that you have to have those small intentional changes, and that they create, like, you know, other than, you know, intentional changes for that, they create sustainability within whatever that goal is that
exactly.
You're doing. So
exactly. Well, and I'll borrow a principle here from the organization that I'm working with, and then the program that we're using. This program talks about something called the minimum factor. And the minimum factor is essentially when you decide that instead of trying to focus on all 600 things that are wrong in your organization, you actually just pick one. And you pick the thing that is the weakest, because that's your largest opportunity for growth, right? It's a very similar principle to you're only as strong as your weakest link, right? So if I, they also use the image of a barrel, and a barrel has all these staves, right? And so if one stave is significantly lower, or just even lower than all the rest of them, you can continue to fill that barrel with water, and you can continue to grow and improve a stave maybe that you're already really good at. But if you're not filling, if you're not growing this stave that's low, guess where all the water is spilling out? Spilling out in the place where you're struggling. Okay. So I think you're kind of getting at that too, Ree, of just addressing those places where we're really challenged, and creating smart goals and implementing intentional change that doesn't necessarily, not that you shouldn't rock the boat, but that doesn't rock the boat in a way that throws everybody off of it.
The biggest thing is don't put Band-Aids on things. I think, you know, when you do that, we're not really helping the solution long term. But I think the most important thing when we look at all these different things, and we have the smart goals, we have the, when we say smart, we've talked about that before, but, you know, that's the, what is
oh,
it?
It's a specific, measurable,
attainable,
realistic, relevant, and time-bound. Yep.
Yeah. So that's when we talk about smart goals. That's what we're talking about. I just wanted to make sure we reiterate that. But they are smart. We've potentially gotten to the root of the problem. We figured that out. We have a plan to execute that. And we know what we're going to do. The biggest thing from there is to make sure that you have follow-up to
close
check
the loop.
In on, you know,
close
yeah, exactly. Close
yep.
the loop. Because I think that's so often missed in a company. I mean, I've been through, I don't even know how many meetings in my lifetime of like, oh yeah, we're going to do all these things and they're great and everything. And then life gets busy. You're on your normal day to day and you're like, oh yeah, weren't we supposed to be working on something?
I'm going to do it. Yeah. It happens to everybody. Totally.
So make sure that you're reviewing those goals and you're strategizing with how they are going. I think that's so big. So it's great to put them there, but if you don't really, and if you put them out there in the universe and then don't look at them ever again, are we actually going to follow through with them? Probably not.
Exactly. So. Even to put like something on your calendar to check in with your goals. Mm-hmm. Like I am truly terrible about this. Like I am guilty party number one.
Yes.
We had set some goals at the beginning of 2025 and I checked in on them because, of course, we're approaching 2026. And I was like, okay, these are things that I was definitely thinking about. But did I actually come back and look at these, you know, once a quarter? No, I did not. And so maybe it's something as simple as like literally putting something on your calendar. If you've got an accountability partner at work, that's even better.
Yes.
So just check in with your goals. How is it going? Are you making any progress? And there's grace,
well, every
there's
year,
grace, but you know.
Yes. Every year at NAS, we, as a management team, we go over like our big rocks. And, you know, those are big goals that we really want to accomplish for the year. And that's fine. But I have, you know, an email saying, hey, we're going to go over, you know, your big rocks for how they went and everything went for 2025. And the question is, what were those big rocks? Gee, you have that paper that I wrote out, you know, and we laugh about it now, but it's so true.
Yeah.
It's so true. I mean, it can be something we usually do, you know, obviously we do professional goals, but we also throw in personal goals in there, you know, and one of them, I think of mine was like reading a certain amount of like self-help or self-improvement books throughout the year. I, just like you, Tori, I thought about it. I thought about it numerous times. How many did I tell him I was going to do? And did I plan that throughout my year? Did I actually put that on my calendar that says, Rhiannon, put down your fantasy book and pick up something that's actually going to help you? You know, it's those things that we need to do. So we're not talking about like just completely giving up New Year's resolutions. What we're talking about is if you're going to do New Year's resolutions, make them worth your while. Make it be something that you want to, that you know is, it's going to be different this year, you know? And if you do the same thing that you've done year after year after year and it's not working, the odds of it happening again is very high of it not working. So think about it. Change your approach to things. Change how you go about those New Year's resolutions, whether it be personal or with your team.
And there's absolutely no reason why you can't set a goal in the middle of the year, for heaven's sake. Like, you can do this any time of the year. I feel like there is, of course, always that, whether it's you consider it pressure or an opportunity, there's time to do that in January. And that's great because you do have some amount of energy and momentum that comes with January. But also, there is no reason why in April you can't say, gosh, like, I really need to do a better job of exercising, and I'm going to set a SMART goal for myself in order to accomplish that goal.
So with everything that Tori and I have talked about on this episode, maybe this year doesn't need a reset. Maybe it just needs honesty about what's working, the discipline and how to stick with it, and the strategic evaluation of key friction points. We hope that this helps take some of the pressure off the New Year buzz, but really, whether it's personal or at work, good luck with your New Year's.
Absolutely. And we want to know, like, how are you guys setting goals for this year? Are you setting goals for the New Year? Or are you like me and you have a vendetta against New Year's resolutions? Let us know in the comments. As always, don't forget to like and share this episode and subscribe to the Innovation Room here on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts. Until next time, keep innovating.